temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Paul, let's go out to our good friend Dan Zangrilli. He's at the ballpark. He's also on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Dan, did I just see what I actually saw last week in Colorado? Michael Taylor came up with no outs and runners on first and second, and they didn't have him bunt, so he popped out to the shortstop. Today, unless my eyes deceived me, there were two outs, runners on second and third, and he tried to bunt. And then he struck out anyway. What is happening?
Ah, man. So I must admit, palms up, Joe. I didn't see the play. I heard Austin describe it. I was in the bathroom with my four-year-old. So I'll have to go back and look at the videotape. But, yeah, there was something with Mike Ribello on a ball that O'Neill Cruz could have scored on, I think, in game one of this series. And Ribello throws his arms up very quickly, has Cruz put on the brakes, and then tries to start the engine back up and wave him home. And, yeah, I'll have to watch the tape, but it sounds like potentially missed opportunity, which, I don't know, I think I'm taking it just in a vacuum without having seen it. I'm taking a gamble there and trying to make the Reds make a play as opposed to leave it to the hands of one Michael A. Taylor for the two-out RBI hit.
Well, I think with two outs, too, Connor Joe's running. He's getting in a pretty good jump, you know what I mean? I honestly look at that and I say, I have no idea how he didn't score. The ball was hit into the gap. It was bouncing away from the outfielder. You got to go get it. You know what I mean? You got to go take that shot.
I'm not sure what, all the circumstances were, what the jump was like. And, again, I just palms up. I haven't seen it to be able to say one way or the other.
Suffice to say, you don't want to leave Michael A. Taylor in a position where he needs to help you offensively. This guy's down to 197. How long can you live with a center fielder like this?
Yeah, well, it depends on how good he is defensively, and he's very, very good. Perhaps the best in baseball. So I think we have an Austin Hedges 2.0 scenario where there's a lot of intangibles and defensive value, but clearly not even close to what you need offensively. And in the case of Hedges last year, you sort of knew what you were going to get. In the case of Taylor, and this is a guy that hit, I think, over 20 home runs, maybe 22 last year, if memory serves. So there's plenty more that they should and need to be getting from Michael A. Taylor. The question then becomes, do you add this to the list of things that they need, along with a couple of relievers, maybe a starter, a corner outfield first base bat? I think they're going to live with Taylor and ride him out as long as he's giving them some really, really good outfield defense, which he is.
Which makes him a defensive replacement guy.
Not necessarily, no.
That's what he should be. A guy that comes in maybe to late in the game as your defensive replacement guy, and then occasionally on a Sunday, when you need a Sunday lineup, throw him in there. But to me, it's almost an automatic out when he's up.
It is, but, there's a lot of value that he would bring from innings 1 through 8 defensively. That's assuming, are you valuing, Paul, the defensive side of it, especially at that position? I think that there's a lot of stuff that you could say that he changes the game in some respects. And, you weigh that up against the alternatives, which, and unfortunately there aren't much of any of those that are pushing him out of the position where you would have a tough decision to make, unfortunately.
Dan Zangrilli, he's at the ballpark taking it in from the stands, it sounds like, with his son. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Social media's biggest loser, Donnie Football, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Donnie's lost an entire football here. The guy looks great. Dan, you had some serious questions about Shelty's game management last night. Explain to people your biggest issue with how Shelty managed that game.
Well, it's, you know, a 2-1 game, and in the eighth inning, he hits for Jason DeLay, which I think was the right move. Cruz obviously has the ability to change the swing, change the game with one swing. Then he has, naturally, because he hit for the catcher, a defensive decision to make. And I thought that rather than, you know, Cruz be taken out one for one, you had another opportunity, say, the guy who was playing shortstop that isn't hitting particularly well, Jared Triolo, that you could have put Yosemite Grandal's spot in, because Grandal naturally has to come into the ninth inning and catch. And if you're in a position to maybe tie the game or take the lead, or you go to extra innings, you'd like O'Neill Cruz to be a factor in the game some way, somehow, rather than just remove what I would consider one of, if not your biggest offensive threat. My opinion, didn't feel that that showed a ton of foresight. Now, the counter argument to that is, I believe Triolo's spot came up seventh. Cruz would have been in the ninth spot of the batting order, so you would have had Grandal there, and then it becomes a question of Grandal versus Triolo, and from where I sit, I don't see much of an advantage one way or the other, Triolo over Grandal, Grandal over Triolo. So I thought that that would have been a fairly simple decision to make. I took issue with it. I didn't think that he was thinking ahead. All of the circumstances, especially with Cruz's health, I'm not certain. But, you know, that was, for me, left a lot to be desired from a managerial in-game tactician standpoint.
Well, one thing that is becoming clear right now is that your hottest hitter might be Rowdy Tellez. And would you play him against lefties, or would you continue to do what, you know, sort of what they've tried to do, where they, you know, play him primarily against righties?
Yeah, I think you don't want to mess up what you've got going on with Tellez right now. And I mean, you can even also, Paul, to maybe double back here in the ninth inning, should Tellez have been the guy instead of Sawinski leading off the ninth and pinch hitting for Connor Joe, I wouldn't, against really tough left-handers, much like Shelton will manage O'Neill Cruz and Sawinski. I don't think you want to, I don't know, when you have Connor Joe, who's historically been pretty good against left-handed pitching, and Edward Olivares, who's been better than any of the alternatives that you would have against left-handed pitching. I think from a matchup standpoint, you gotta be careful there and protect Tellez and other left-handed hitters as much as you can.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dan, do we know yet who's pitching for the Pirates tomorrow against the Rays?
No, Derek Shelton does not meet with the media day game after night game. I guess that's fairly standard in MLB protocol. I'm going to guess Martin Perez, because he's thrown his bullpen simulated games, and we haven't heard anything that would otherwise set him back or delay a potential return. I think what they were mulling around, and again, we didn't have an opportunity to confirm this, as to whether or not they would send Perez out on a rehab. If he does need an extra day or there's still more questions surrounding him, there's always another bullpen day. They haven't thrown Ortiz since he threw in Colorado, so that's an option. I'm sure they could roll Majinski back. He threw last night, so he would be in play. But if I'm to guess, I'm thinking that it's going to be Martin Perez.
Oh, well, that would be interesting if they brought him back, because now all of a sudden they would have their rotation intact, and it would allow them maybe to use some other guys in different roles. But the bullpen game is interesting, and down the road when they're trying to push Jared Jones and Paul Skenes maybe back a day and give them extra day, and it might be a better option than the, you know, six-man rotation nonsense that we saw earlier where they left themselves short in the bullpen, wouldn't it?
Well, that's the tough conversation that they need to have, because I think everybody would agree Jared Jones and Paul Skeens are the priority to try to keep them in play, assuming the Pirates are able to hang around and stay in this thing in late July, August, and you don't start getting to those red line numbers where you're looking at a potential shutdown. So I think the six-man rotation is really important for this team this year. The other side of that, Paul, is when they've gone to it in these very short stints, being short in the bullpen is a real issue. I'm more inclined to try the six-man rotation again to see if they could do it. It's going to take some of the relievers stepping up. The bullpen is performing better than the last time around they tried this experiment, so I'm compelled to go back to it again because, for me, Jones and Skeens are a priority. If they're to do anything this year, Jones and Skeens, along with Keller, they're going to be paramount in getting them there. So you might have to arrange the deck chairs and have the sun revolve around them a little bit, but guess what? That's what you got to do because I think that's really the only formula. Assuming the Pirates are able to hang around, it's the only formula that will give them any sort of pathway to do anything meaningful.
Dan, we appreciate the time. Enjoy your time with your son. Are we golfing tomorrow, Dan? What's happening here?
I sent you a question yesterday as to when you would like to go, and you replied back with the capital letter L. I don't know what that means.
That was a butt dial. I don't know what that meant. Oh, when?
I thought you were calling me something.
And I'm good to go right after the show, of course.
He's a jerk.
But we can do this privately, not on the radio.
He's
thank you, Dan.
A jerk.
You replied with a capital letter L. What was I to do with that?
I see it now. I didn't even know I did it. It was a butt dial. I apologize, but I'm ready to go.
That's
if you are.
Fair.
You and I need to bond. We need to have some quality time together.
What do you think about that, Carl?
Thank you, Dan.
Bye.
There he goes, Dan Zangrilli. He's become a legend, huh, Paul?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So where are you guys trying to golf at?
I don't know. He said he had a place, and I want to do it. What about Perez coming back into the rotation here? I think that could be a good thing. Or would you rather do a bullpen game tomorrow with Ortiz? Is it a good thing? I don't know.
I think Perez, when he was healthy, was good. I like the idea of putting a guy on the mound that might be able to go 7 or 8 innings for you.
And I like the idea, suddenly, of this bullpen being relatively healthy and having pretty good personnel.
Yeah.
Now that Bednar, Chapman seem to be on track, Holderman has been good, just flat out really good, actually. Then you have Majinski, you have Ortiz. You're starting to build a real bullpen where the pieces make sense and are healthy and pitching well. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
All right.